We're going to get into our lesson. It's called New and Improved. I watch commercials, and I observe a lot of the commercials, and it's amazing to me how some of the commercials you watch, and you get most of the way through the commercial, and you're wondering, what are they even trying to sell? You know, you're seeing some long-legged blonde, you know, good looking from here till next week, and they're selling dish soap or something like that. I look at these, and there's so many. When you look at the products, they're boasting, you know, that such some product is more concentrated, it's got more flavor, it's got half the fat. Give me the full fat. You know, I like the full taste of it. That something is faster, you know, or longer lasting. I even saw one recently. It was on the box. A friend told me that on the box of Suzy Q's. You know, I don't touch them myself, but I hear. No, I was looking at a box of Suzy Q's that just happened to be sitting on the counter the other day, and it said, new ingredient. And I'm thinking, what brainchild at Hostess, why did it ever go through their mind that Suzy Q's ever needed to be improved? Why did you even need to mess with the ingredients at all? They were pretty good the way they came out of the, you know, started off. But we see that all the time with products. They will change just to sell a new model. Just that you've got to have the 2020 version. Cars. How much different can the 2021 version of a Toyota Corolla be from the 2020 version? But they got to tweak it to where you want the new version, the faster version, the one with, you know, the product with less fat, or the product that's more concentrated, or better for the environment, or whatever it is. We don't escape that even in the church. There are people, and I don't know if you've heard some of these. These are just my reflections. I'm sure you've probably heard some, and probably have heard some that I haven't. You know, we need to make the church new and updated. You know, the church is blasé. We need to spice things up. You know, the Bible is outdated. You know, and it's obsolete. I've heard that the accounts in the Bible, the stories in the Bible, are about people and cultures thousands of years ago. It doesn't apply to me today. Excuse me. I've seen, you know, I already said we need to spice things up at worship. You know, people are concerned. How can we get more people in? You know, I've said many times, if numbers is our goal, you know, we could advertise that we're passing out $100 bills at the front door. That would get people in. I wonder if Jesus had that same issue, the people that just showed up for the free lunch. I wonder how many people continued to follow Jesus after their son was healed, or their daughter was healed, or they were healed. We see examples that some continued following him. Some of them were only interested in, I got this pain in my back. Can you fix that, Jesus? Or I've got this skin condition nobody has been able to work on. What can you do for me? We have to compete with modern society. Have you ever heard that one? You know, that we have to make things more appealing. That we got to have a hook on people. Almost as if we're trying to advertise a product. And in some ways we kind of are. The product is Christ, but we're not trying to, you know, we sometimes approach it as an advertising sales pitch. And that's not what it is. You know, have you ever heard the one, we've got to keep our children interested? That we need to hire a youth minister so our kids. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with a youth minister, but that's the parents' job. You know, there's nothing wrong with having a youth minister to coordinate some activities, but don't get upset at the youth minister if the kids don't follow Christ. We need to not be so condemning. The church is so condemning. We need more uplifting sermons. Don't talk about sin. Don't talk about where people fall short or are displeasing to God. Have you ever heard the one, my needs aren't being met? I don't get anything from the lesson. I hear that on the way home every Sunday. I'm no. But have you ever heard that? And I heard a story recently, and I'm going blank on what preacher it was, about how a lady comes up to him and says, I'm leaving the congregation. I'm just not being fed anymore. And the preacher said, how long have you been attending here? She goes, I've been in this congregation 41 years or whatever. And he says, you've been attending here 41 years and you don't know where the kitchen is to be fed? You know, that we expect sometimes, we put the responsibility on others. That's the preacher's job. That's the elder's job. That's the deacon's job. That's somebody else. I'm sure I just don't get anything from worship. I've never seen in the scriptures where we come together to worship God that we're supposed to be the ones getting something out of it. We're giving worship to God. Now, when we come together as brothers and sisters, we do benefit a great deal. But the purpose is to come together and as brothers and sisters offer up worship to God. I would like to look at some scriptures today. Not a lot of commentary from me, just scriptures on purpose. Just scriptures. There's no pictures. Not that pictures and the PowerPoint are wrong. Just the word. Okay? Revelation chapter 22. Now I will be the first to say that Jesus expounding these words to the Apostle John and John writing them down, this is specifically talking about the book of Revelation. But the concept applies to any of God's word. Starting in verse 18. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. Same concept way back in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 4:2. You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Two chapters later in Deuteronomy 6, verse 17 and 18, you shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, his testimonies and his statutes which he has commanded you. And you shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with you, and that you may go in and possess the good land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. Proverbs 30, verse 6. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you, and you be found a liar. Our scripture reading this morning that Colin read, 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And I love, it's literally translated, God-breathed. God breathed his word to us. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's the word of God. Back in Judges 2. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges who delivered them out of the hand of those who plundered them. Yet they would not listen to their judges, but they played the harlot with other gods and bowed down to them. They turned quickly from the way in which their fathers walked. In obeying the commandments of the Lord, they did not do so. Isaiah 30, verse 9 and 10. That this is a rebellious people, lying children, children who will not hear the law of the Lord, who say to the seers, do not see, and to the prophets, do not prophesy to us the right things, speak to us smooth things. Prophecy deceits. Zechariah 7, verse 11 and 12. But they refused to heed, shrugged their shoulders, and stopped their ears so they could not hear. Yes, they made their hearts like flint, refusing to hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent by his Spirit through the former prophets. Thus great wrath came from the Lord of hosts. Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1, as I urged you when I went into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus, that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine, nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which cause disputes rather than godly edification, which is in faith. A couple of chapters later, Paul continues and he says, till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. 2 Timothy 4, starting in verse 2, Paul told Timothy, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Colossians 2:4. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. Colossians 2:8. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Ephesians 4:14. That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. We've been studying in the book of Galatians on Wednesday night, and early in our study, we chewed quite a while on this verse. In chapter 1, starting in verse 6, Paul says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. And Paul repeats himself in verse 9 of that. We'll end up with Matthew. These are the words of Jesus. In Matthew 15, starting verse 7, Jesus says, hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain, they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Do we really need it new and improved? Nothing wrong with dish soap or a car being improved. I'll even live with the change they put to Suzy Q's. But when it comes to God's Word, I think the Scriptures themselves, and this was done on purpose, no pictures, just the Word of God. The Word of God was God-breathed. It is as new as the day it was written. It was from God and needs no improvement. It needs no improvement. It is perfect as it is. Keep that in mind as we study, as we open our Bibles this week, sitting down at the kitchen table to read, to realize we don't need sparkles. Nothing wrong in and of itself with some of the things that we do. The Word of God is sufficient. If you need to respond to the invitation through prayers, through baptism, if you would like to identify with us, to work and worship with us here at South Valley, whatever your needs are, please come forward as Daryl leads us in the invitation. Let's stand and sing.